Let's remain standing. We're going to read together our first lesson, which comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, and we'll say these words together. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let's sit down and we'll listen together to our second reading, which comes from Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 11.
For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good.
Let's remain standing. We're going to listen to our reading from the Gospel of Luke.
Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests."
Let's pray together. Father, speak to us through your word now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sit down, everyone. And if you could just keep the last slide up, just the last end of that passage, it'd be great. Well, it's almost Christmas Day. The plan is to finish the talk at the stroke of midnight. And some of you are getting really excited by that prospect. It's a 6-minute talk, in other words. So, let's see if he sticks to that then. So, pastor was preaching, a minister was preaching on Christmas Eve, and the sermon was quite long. It went on for quite a long time. And his thoughts were a bit scattered. He kind of rambled on, was a bit all over the place. It was kind of difficult to follow what the message was. And at the end of the service, eventually everybody was able to leave, and he was standing at the door, and you know, people were being nice and chatting to him as they were leaving. And one parishioner, one member of the congregation, surprised him when she commented. She said, Minister, your sermon tonight reminded me of God's peace and God's love. And minister was kind of, well, that's nice. That's quite good that the sermon reminded you of those things. But really, what did you mean by that? How did that work out, that it reminded you of God's peace and love? And the lady said, well, it reminded me of God's peace in the way it surpassed all understanding. And it reminded me of God's love because it seemed to endure forever. So I'm going to try and not go on and on and on tonight if I possibly can. What is the greatest need that the world has tonight? What is the greatest need that human beings have tonight? For some, it will be to keep their children asleep through the night and not wake up too early with the excitement of Christmas. For others, it will be not to worry about what tomorrow's going to be like when the family all gathers and you've got many, many people around you. And, you know, Christmas Day is the day when more rows in families happen than any other day of the year. So some people will be worried about that. But I wonder what you would think if I was to say that the greatest need that human beings have right now is the need for peace. You know, we've seen over the last three and a half years, our nation has not had a lot of peace attached to it. Our parliamentarians in Westminster have been having a right go at one another down through the years. Maybe we'll see a bit of a change as the new government settles in, beds in the time to come. But peace is something that's sadly lacking. You know, we live in physical peace, most of us. But there are people, even today in Syria, you know, five small children lost their lives because there's a war raging in Syria that kind of gets pushed off the pages of the newspapers, forced off the news. We don't hear about it quite so much. Peace is something that is elusive. And that hasn't changed. Some of our carols tonight kind of remind us of that. You know, some of the carols that we're singing tonight, the wording of them is just so amazingly beautiful and apposite, relevant to where our time in history is. Peace is sadly lacking in all sorts of other ways as well. If you think about it, some of us will have been worrying about where the money's going to come from to pay for Christmas and how we're going to pay for all the presents that we're going to get. People will be really worried and nervous about that. I've had a few conversations with people over the last few weeks who've expressed that to me. And our heart longs for peace, but we're uncertain of where to get it. Sometimes we kind of try to find peace by acquiring stuff and becoming more materialistic. C.S. Lewis writes a little bit about this in his book, Mere Christianity. He talks about our desires for stuff, for things, for experiences. And he says this, creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger. Well, there is such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there is such a thing as water. Men feel sexual desire. Well, there is such a thing as sex. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that does not prove that the universe is a fraud. Probably earthly desires were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse it, to suggest the real thing. If that is so, I must take care, on the one hand, never to despise or be unthankful for those earthly blessings, and on the other, never to mistake them for the something else of which they are only a kind of copy or echo or mirage. I must keep alive in myself the desire for my true country, which I shall not find until after death. I must never let it get snowed under or turned aside. I must make it the main object of life to press on to that other country and to help others do the same. I love how Lewis articulates the deepest cries of the human heart, that we're looking for something, but we don't know where to find it. But our readings tonight have many themes to them, but one of the things that comes out is that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. It's interesting, isn't it? It suggests to us that maybe if there is a God, God wants people, human beings, us, to experience the peace that he brings. Peace, internal peace, eternal peace, relational peace between one another. Jesus came to bring peace. One of his titles from the passage that we had in Isaiah is Prince of Peace. He came to bring peace. So what kind of peace does Jesus bring? What kind of peace does he bring to us? Very briefly, he brings three kinds of peace, at least three kinds of peace. Let me just try and describe these for us now. First of all, he brings peace to my soul. You know, my soul is troubled. Why is my soul troubled within me? It's because my relationship with the Creator, the one who made me, who I was built to be in relationship with, my relationship is broken. It's broken until I'm able to be back in relationship with him. Jesus comes to bring peace to my soul between me and God. Listen to these verses that might help us understand this more. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Romans 5, verse 1. We have peace with God. That's the kind of message of Christmas in a nutshell. Jesus came so that we might have peace with God. Now, my 6 minutes has gone. It's 2 minutes past six. 2 minutes past 12, sorry. It's very late. And so Jesus is born. Jesus is now in the manger. If you look at the manger over there, he was in there about half an hour ago because I put him in. But you know, we can look at that and go, well, that's what Christmas is all about, the shepherds and Mary and Joseph and the stable and stuff. But actually, and that's great. It's important that we do all that stuff. But actually, here's the core. Here's the key thing, that we might have peace with God. Our conscience cleared. Our sins forgiven. You know, a conscience, we've all got conscience. You ever get your conscience kind of prickling at you just to kind of make you feel maybe you didn't get something right? It's like the warning light on a car. You ever had a car where the warning light came on and you didn't know what the warning light was? You know, what's that for? And you have to get the manual out. Usually if you're the driver in our house, I do a lot of the driving. Get the manual out, find out what the warning light is so that we know what's going on here. When your conscience kind of has a go at us, that's the kind of warning light coming on. Something isn't quite right. We don't have peace because maybe we've got something a little bit wrong. But there is a way to experience peace and forgiveness. Listen to this, the next verse from Romans 5. It says this: because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. So Jesus came to bring peace, but now we are in a privileged position. That's where this business of on whom his favor rests. You see, God loves us and cares for us so much, he sends his son into the world to live a life, to teach, to die on the cross, so that we might have peace with God forever. What an amazing thing. And we forget it so easily. We may never have heard it, perhaps, but it is the great truth of Christmas. So he brings peace to our souls. He also brings peace to our relationships. Jesus was great at talking about this, wasn't he? Blessed are the peacemakers, not cheesemakers. Little reference to Life of Brian there, for those who are interested. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Jesus came to bring peace between us. There's like five sermons in this, really. As I said earlier, today is the day when more bus stops happen in homes and families over the turkey than any other time. And Christmas is not always easy for some people. For that reason and for other reasons. Maybe your relationships with people in your family are not what you long for them to be. Maybe you're struggling because there's estrangement in your family. And we pray for you tonight if you're in that situation. I know what that feels like. It's not an easy situation to be in. But Jesus comes to remind us that he came to bring peace. And again, your conscience gets to work on you in this, doesn't it? There's another great verse that says this. Again, it's from Romans 12. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. It's a great verse because it says to us that there are days when you're not going to be at peace with everyone, because not everybody's going to agree with you or like you or get on with you. But you need to go the extra mile to try and put right anything that has gone wrong. It doesn't mean that you have to go around prostrate before people and be a victim or to put yourself in a really bad place with people. But it does mean that you need to have a little bit of humility when it comes to other. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. One of the things that helps us define us as Christians, followers of Jesus, is that we are people who seek the peace. Even when people have a go at us or are negative about us, one of the big tests is, how do we react to that? How do we respond? Do we respond with love and care? Or do we internalize it, get angry, and make a mess? So here's the thought, okay? How do we put this into practice? Well, I don't know what your day is shaping up to be like today, later on in the day. Family gathers, maybe friends are coming for lunch or dinner or whatever. If something goes wrong, and it won't, you'll have a great day, it'll be really positive, everybody will have a wonderful time. But if something goes wrong, someday it makes you really irate or annoys you, you came to this service tonight and you heard these words from the Bible about living in peace. So may your first thought be, I'm not going to go there. I'm looking over there. There's only two of us in our house tomorrow, so we'll be at peace. It'll be great. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to be a peacemaker in this situation. Let's do it today. Let's do it in the days to come. That will make a huge difference. Lastly, he brings peace to my future. So he brings peace to my soul. He brings peace to our relationships as we allow his Holy Spirit to work. And he brings peace to my future. Listen to this passage. Again, it's Jesus teaching later in his life. That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he'll give you everything you need. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So Jesus brings peace to our future because we are in his hands. Whatever the future holds, we are in his hands. That's why he came. So that we would know his peace. So we need to pray for one another tonight that we will know that we're held securely in the hands of God. Whatever the next year brings, and none of us knows what the next year will bring, we're held securely in the hands of a loving God who cares for us, and our future is secure in him, both today and in the days to come. Let us pray. God, give us courage to bear witness to the impossible possibility of a different kind of world, to a way of peace that's not only how the world can be, but how it shall be when Christ returns and the glory of the Lord floods the earth. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We weren't expecting, we weren't interested, we weren't involved. We didn't ask, we didn't deserve, we didn't help, and didn't even imagine. And yet, to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. Tonight, we pray for the peace of the world. We pray for the people of Syria troubled by war. And we pray for peace. We pray for those for whom this is a difficult time of year, those who are estranged from loved ones, those who will be alone at Christmas. Help us to be people of peace who bring your peace to those situations, if we can. Help us to be people who bring peace to those who are troubled by their circumstances. And we pray for our nation tonight. We give you thanks for Her Majesty the Queen, and we thank you for her great faith and trust in you all these years, and for the example that that has been to so many. And we pray for her government in Westminster as they take the reins of power and as they make plans for the years to come. Give them wisdom and help them to care for the least and the last in our nation. And all these prayers we make in the wonderful name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen.